Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For a moment, he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy. And he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Purport. On the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by doing so, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment, but then he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. There are 8 kinds of transcendental changes in the body: tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. Om Gyanati Milandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshusha Militam Jena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Jitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Bidaya Krishna Bistaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Vaja, Paditanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Nama Namaha. Hare Krishna. So I'll take permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas and those who are online that I will be able to can speak and say something inspiring, maybe at least for myself. Hare Krishna. So this chapter here is all about smaranam, remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. So Krishna has finished his pastimes. He sat underneath a huge banyan tree, and there he met Uddhava. Uddhava is a very confidential servant of the Lord. And he spoke the Uddhava Gita to the Lord. And Uddhava, he was very qualified. Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. Actually, Uddhava was the only one that was qualified to go to Vrindavan. And Krishna sent him to give the Vrajavasis some relief, to assure them that Krishna will return. And while Uddhava was in Vrindavan, he saw something that no one else, if they saw it, wouldn't believe it. Like all the devotees in Dwarka, they can't understand the service the Vrajavasis do. They just can't perceive of it in their minds because it's spontaneous devotional service. Because their devotional service is based on awe and reverence. To them, Krishna's God. So for them to go to Vrindavan and see the things that go in Vrindavan, they may take it and or misunderstand what's going on there. Because if you're not on the level of Raghunuga Bhakti and you see, then it's very difficult to understand what's going on. So here, what's happening here is Uddhava is experiencing some very high emotions, spiritual emotions. And it's interesting because in the translation, it says that for a moment, Uddhava remained dead silent. He wasn't moving. But in the purport, Prabhupada says that Uddhava appeared to be awakened. So it seems like a contradiction. So is he dead silent and still, or is he awakened? So Krishna answers this question in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, where he says, "What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage." So materialists, they're very much eager to, when they have an opportunity to enjoy material life, they'll wake up. You know, they'll be so excited, you know. But you give them an opportunity to want to enjoy spiritual life or engage in spiritual activity, they're lazy. Whereas with the devotees, it's the opposite. The devotees are not so eager to engage in material activity, but you give them an opportunity to engage in spiritual activity, and they're very eager, very happy to. Just like yesterday, we went out on Harinam. It's our regular weekly Thursday Harinam. And the weather was miserable yesterday. It was raining and windy. But the devotees are very eager to go out. You know, they're like, "Oh yeah, let's go and Harinam, it's far out." And it's like the highlight of the week. Because you're just out, and what are you doing? You're just out on the street, in the rain, in the cold. You're chanting and glorifying Krishna. But when the materialists see that, they think, "Oh, what's going on here? You know, how is it? How can they go out in this kind of weather, wearing bed sheets, chanting this mantra, glorifying God? You know, I'd rather just stay in a coffee shop and have my latte or something." Yeah. So they can't understand. Why can't they understand? Because they're not engaging in devotional service. Therefore, they never understand. Unless you come to the point of devotional service. And what to speak of understanding the service the devotees in Vrindavan do, unconditional, spontaneous devotion, what to speak of that? Right? Very difficult. So Uddhava was actually, he was awake before Vidura came. In other words, he was moving around. As soon as Vidura started speaking, asking him questions about Krishna, then he went internal. I'll try. And then he went internal, right? So in the purport it says, it appears. Uddhava appeared to be awakened, and he appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So to an outsider, it appeared that he was awake. But actually, his awakening was internal. And that's our dormant awakening of Krishna consciousness, which is actually, for a devotee, the internal awakening is the real deal. Because externally, we've got so many things that may divert our attention, that may take our mind somewhere else, right? Like, you know, you come to the morning program, we've got so many... It's such a physical activity, just getting up in the morning, chanting. It's all physical. It's all physical. Right? But the real thing is going on inside here. And that's what's happening here with Uddhava. Right? His awakening is internal, not external. Whereas the materialists, they're external and they're not internal, spiritually. So that's what Jai. Shishi Radha Gokulanda ki Jai. So the question is, you know, does a pure devotee ever forget Krishna? No, he doesn't. Of course not. So it appears that he's forgotten to someone who's not a devotee. But as soon as he was given the opportunity to speak, immediately he just totally went into ecstatic symptoms. And as described in Active Devotion, there are 8 types of ecstasy that a pure devotee experiences. once Prabhupada was sitting on a Vyasasan, this was in Mayapur. Shudakirti speaks about this in Prabhupada Memories. And it was in front of like 150 devotees. And Prabhupada all of a sudden closed his eyes. And his eyes remained closed for quite some time. The devotees didn't know what to do. There was one sannyasi sitting next to the Vyasa-san. And he just all of a sudden started chanting, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddha. Then he went into chanting the Maha Mantra. And then finally Prabhupada awoke. And he also joined in with the chanting. And then at the end, it all finished. There was a discussion between the devotees. You know, what happened here? They were saying, was it right for us to chant, or should we have just waited, kept quiet and waited? So there was disagreement going on. And then finally Brahmananda asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, do you remember when you were sitting on the Vyasasan and all of a sudden you closed your eyes and you went into this deep, deep meditation? And Prabhupada said, oh, he said, I don't do that quite often. Like Prabhupada was embarrassed when he said that. He wasn't showing off that, oh, look, yeah, I was feeling ecstatic symptoms. You know, you should just sit there and wait. He felt embarrassed. He said, but I don't do that quite often. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, you should just carry on chanting. But anyway, then Prabhupada said, well, what's the big deal anyway? You know, like Prabhupada wasn't making a big thing out of it. Because for a pure devotee, the order of their spiritual master and their devotional service is their ecstasy. Them feeling ecstatic emotions isn't really the main thing. Because once Uddhava awoke from his internal ecstasy, what did he do? It says in the purport, Prabhupada says he remembered his devotional service to the Lord. Right? So for him, that's the most important thing, my service. Because without service, then there is no ecstasy. Right? Because that's the difference between the pure devotees, the neophyte devotees, and the sahajiyas. Right? Jiva Goswami says that if a devotee's heart becomes purified by, because his heart becomes purified by following the instructions of the spiritual master, engaging in devotional service, and specifically hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, then that devotee is qualified for smaranam. It's not a mechanical thing where you can just, I'm going to remember Krishna now, because the mind will not let us. So there's a process. And for devotees, the most important thing is devotional service. There's a story with Daruka, Krishna's servant, right? Everyone's heard that story where he's fanning Krishna, but then he's feeling the ecstatic symptoms. But then he's having to check his static symptoms. For him, it's an inconvenience. Why is it inconvenience? Because it's getting in the way of his devotional service to the Lord. Like that. And so a pure devotee is not so interested in displaying his ecstatic emotions, actually. This is a private thing. And it's a very deep thing to talk about, so I have no realizations on it. I can just theoretically speak. But he's not interested. Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan, and he would have had a lovely life in Vrindavan, undoubtedly experiencing ecstasy, writing books, being there in front of Rupa Goswami's samadhi. But he didn't. He chose to leave that and follow the instruction of his spiritual master, like Jiva Goswami says. Follow the instructions of the guru. And he sailed across the world, endured two heart attacks on a Jaladuta, spread Krishna consciousness in 12 years, opened so many centers. So that was Prabhupada's ecstasy. There's a famous quote from Prabhupada. He says, he's talking about his purports in his books. He said, "These are my emotional ecstasies." And Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, then read my books. So if you want to know the pure devotee, then you read Prabhupada's books, then you can know the heart of the devotee. Then you'll understand, eventually you'll come to the point of understanding what real ecstasy is. Like that. So devotees are very humble. What was I going to say? There's so many things. I've got time. 5 minutes. It's great. So here, interesting thing in the purport, where Prabhupada says, he says, because the Lord is absolute, there's no difference between his remembrance and his personal service, or no, personal presence. Yeah? So Vidura and Uddhava, they're both feeling vipralamba, bhav. They're in separation. Because Krishna's left, Udayadu dynasty's gone, Krishna's finished his pastimes in this earthly planet. So they're feeling this vipralamba bhav. They're in separation. But as soon as Uddhava has the opportunity to speak about Krishna, then all of a sudden he's meeting Krishna. Krishna's there. So there's simultaneously two emotions going on here. Vipralamba and Samboga. They're simultaneously in separation, but they're also meeting Krishna by hearing about Krishna. Like that. So the next devotion, it says there's five types of remembrance to Krishna. There's recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance. These five. So the first one is smarana, and that is for us, remembrance, remembering Krishna. But our remembrance is interrupted, just like when we sit down and chant our 16 rounds. The mind is going here, there, and everywhere, and someone comes in, Haribol Prabhu, this and that. So it's interrupted. We're not fixed. But then it said when your remembrance becomes uninterrupted. In other words, you can sit down and chant 16 rounds, fixing your mind for 2 hours, just not focusing the mind on anything, not doing anything else. That's uninterrupted. An uninterrupted smarana or remembrance it becomes concentrated, and that's called meditation. And then you can really meditate on Krishna. And then he said that when meditation expands, it becomes anusmriti. And then it comes to the stage of samadhi. Yeah. So we got a long way to go. Yeah. But you have to start somewhere. Yeah. So don't be put off. This is very high subject matter here. But, you know, so Krishna, he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to speak to the Rajavasis. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice commentary on that. There's a verse in the 10th canto where Krishna says, he says to the gopis, he says, the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of all living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it, he can think of nothing else. Right? So sometimes it seems like that. Krishna, he doesn't give us, we've been around for so many years, Krishna's not giving so easily. And he even says this to the gopis. And they are eternal liberated souls. And he says, I'm not giving to you. Yeah? Because he wants to increase their desire. An example is given, just like a child loses his toy. Or a poor man loses some wealth. And what are they doing? They're constantly thinking. The child's thinking of his toy. Where's my toy? And his remembrance or his thinking is intensified. It increases more and more. So Krishna's doing that. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. And so yeah, he's talking about this. There's a conversation between the gopis and Krishna. And Krishna's saying this to the gopis. This is the reason why I don't reciprocate. He says the same with the nitya siddhas and the sadhakas. He says the nitya siddhas, I don't reciprocate because I want to refine their love. And I don't reciprocate with the sadhakas because I don't want to increase their attachment. Yeah. So we have to come to the point of a shakti, becoming really attached to Krishna. And then from a shakti, we can come to the slowly cultivate our raganuga devotion to Krishna. Anshila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, he says, even the Sankirtan devotees, you know, those performing Harinam Sankirtan, sometimes they ask Krishna for something, but Krishna says no. Because he wants to see us make a little effort. And he's increasing our desire, our attachment to him more and more. So the only thing that we can really have is the greed to want it. Krishna says, me not reciprocating with the devotees is my reciprocation. But we may not understand that right now. So this is the thing. Krishna wants us to go deep. And this is this whole purport and translation. It's all about going deep, deeper. You know, you've been around 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50, whatever. And you're still struggling with your mind and senses, struggling to chant 16 rounds, then you know there's a problem, you know? Yeah? We can't fix our mind. What's going on? But advanced devotees, they don't become angry, they don't become upset. You know, so many years, I'm struggling. Rather, the advanced devotee, when they're not getting it, they become even more absorbed. And their desire for wanting it increases more and more. That's the difference. And a devotee who's not advanced may become upset, may become a bit uninspired, you know. And then they may start be thinking, oh, there might be something better, you know. Let me try something better. And then they're in the material world for a bit, and they realize there's nothing better. There's nothing in this material world. Because once you experience the taste of Krishna consciousness, there isn't anything else. Nothing. When we're young, everything's in front of you, right? Everything's in front of us. You got so many plans, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, even as devotees, right? But once you reach a certain level of Krishna consciousness, or even you reach a certain age, it's all behind you, isn't it? And what's in front of you? There's nothing left in front except Krishna, right? That's all gone. It's, you know, you've done it, experienced it. So it's just Krishna left in front. So what are you going to do? You're going to... Krishna wants us to go deep. Like that. So the Prabhupada says that his eagerness is very important, you know, to really wanting it. But it's, Prabhupada says it's only awakened through the association of devotees. And he says, we are giving everyone a chance for this eagerness. Then you will see God face to face. Life is meant for seeing Krishna, Prabhupada says. So eagerness, very important. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. There. Where does that, where's anybody heard that verse before? Yeah. So in the second canto, 10.3, I think it was. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama dradahi tivrena bhakti yogena yajite purusho padam. So what's the translation of tivrena bhakti yogena? The translation is forceful, intense. And the same is coming up here. So our devotional service has to be intense, has to be really, we really have to go for it, you know. There's no wishy-washiness. There's no, oh, one day Krishna might just give me some mercy, right? We're just hoping for the mercy. But we don't. Devotees, we can't just sit around. Prabhupada says, you can't just sit around waiting, because it may not. Where it doesn't happen to move. The mercy you'd get when Krishna sees that you're really, really making an effort. You really. And the effort isn't external like this whole way. The effort is internal. Let's make the internal effort. Let's really focus on praying to Krishna and asking Krishna to awaken our love for him. Some people think the goal of life is to remember Krishna at the time of death. It isn't. The goal of life is to love Krishna. Is to develop undeviated love for Krishna. And we can only do that if we go really deep in our spiritual life. But going deep means following the instruction of the spiritual master, engaging in devotional service, with bhakti yogena, with enthusiasm, eagerness, and force, including and really making an effort in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And then we can achieve some real deep Krishna consciousness, and we can awaken our deep, loving relation with Krishna. Like this. I've got to finish now. So is there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. When we talk about things like determination or forcefulness in the material world, that's very like mode of passion. And I was wondering, like, can this still, can we still practice this devotional service in the mode of passion with this determination? And if so, like, how can we get out of it and have the determination and this forcefulness, but in the mode of goodness?
Yeah, well, Krishna says there's different types of devotional service, right? Mode of passion, ignorance, goodness. Actually, not ignorance, no. Ignorance, yeah. And goodness. Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about here is not mode of passion, not even the mode of goodness. This is pure goodness. This is coming to Sudhasattva platform. But of course, there's a process by which we do it. But we need to at least come to the mode of goodness in order to practice devotional service properly. So forcefulness, it sounds like quite a passionate, intense word. But it isn't when it's connected to going deep and really connecting to Krishna. Yeah, but that's the whole thing. You see, we need to stop thinking devotional service is just external, just the activities. Sometimes devotees, you see, they may just be staying in one room, living in a kutir somewhere in Vrindavan or somewhere, and they're just on their own, but they're so focused, they're so determined, and you know, whereas we may be like, oh, Hari Bol, jumping up and down, this and that, but there may not be so much going on inside. So this verse, this word Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, it means being focused, not being mind, not being swayed by this and that. One-sided determination or one focused determination, that is to ultimately achieve love for Krishna, please Krishna. And of course we do that by carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master. Did you want to say anything?
When you're fully free from sin, yeah, material desire, then your dridha bratta, your determination is very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to come to the point of being free from material contamination. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to... Prabhupada, you talked about Prabhupada missing Vrindavan. It's amazing how many times, especially in the very early days in the 60s, when he's brand newly speaking to people, he mentions it quite a lot, that I'm sitting here, but I'm always hankering after Vrindavan. You know, it's inconceivable how happy he was in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect for him in terms of everything, you know. But he left and went to freezing cold.
And that was Prabhupada's ecstasy. Going to the freezing cold. That was his ecstasy.
New York winters are not like London winters. They're really heavy.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada just had a chudder and the wind and it was like...
Yeah, I remember when we were kids, the winters here were like way colder than they are now.
Thank you, Baba, for the class. Could you elaborate on the term... where it says remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, and sometimes we also say serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there's a literally you can do that, but is there anything more than that?
Remembering
and serving the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yeah, there's no difference. Serving, service also means remembrance, right? But of course, you have to do it in the right mood. You can serve, you can do your service, but then you're not thinking, you may not even be thinking of Krishna. You're on the altar waving the incense, but your mind's thinking, oh, you know, I've got this appointment, I've got to go here, I've got to go there. Yeah. So real service is when... when the mind is focused on Krishna. That's real service. So ultimately, there's no difference between the service and if you're doing it in the right consciousness. There's no difference between the devotional service and being in front of Krishna face to face. That's how pure devotees see it. But we obviously are not on that level. But at least we should practice. When we're engaging in service, whatever we're doing, that fix our mind on that actual thing and try not to let our mind wander somewhere else. I don't know, there's much more to say about that.
Just specifically serving the lotus feet and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord.
Hmm?
What does that mean?
Serving and remembering. Do you want to say something? Following the order of the spiritual master. I mean, I don't understand the question. What's the difference between serving and remembering?
I'm asking the term lotus feet of the Lord.
Yeah.
So whether you're remembering the lotus feet of the Lord or whether you're serving the lotus, what does that mean? Am I just meditating on the feet of the Lord? Am I washing the feet?
No, remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means carrying out an instruction of the spiritual master.
So Uddhava was thinking about carrying out the instruction.
He's thinking about his devotional service here. That's what he's thinking. That's what it says. He's when he woken from his meditation, what did he do? He was remembering all his service to Krishna. He wasn't just mechanically thinking about Krishna's feet. Because the order of the guru, the order is non-different to Krishna. It's non-different. Because through that order, you'll get the potency to carry everything out and achieve the highest perfection in life. So remembering the lotus feet means carrying out the order and instruction of the spiritual master, engaging in devotional service with bhakti tivrena, yogena. So that's called remembering. We're not just like the sahajiyas, okay? The sahajiyas, they're very much like imitating the ecstasy of the pure devotee. But there's one thing they don't lack. Oh, sorry, there's one thing they lack and they don't have. And you know what that is? A service mood, Prabhupada says. So without the service mood, having all this ecstasy and all that is just a complete waste of time. It's false. We have to have that service mood, wanting to please the Guru and Krishna. And then the ecstasy will come. So remembering Krishna's lotus feet means remembering the instructions of the Guru. It's no different. Unless someone else wants to say something different. Eddie, you want to?
Sometimes it says that serving the lotus feet of Krishna is doing parikrama of the holy place. It's considered like that.
Mm.
But like you say, they're all the nine process devotional service, they're all kind of interchangeable and overlapping and they become one and it's all just service to Krishna and the Guru.
Point is we have to become qualified to remember like that that term quote. I mentioned about Jiva Goswami saying, if a devotee's heart becomes purified through remembering, carrying out instructions of the Guru, engaging in devotional service, specifically hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, then that person becomes qualified to remember. So if you're trying to remember but you're not following, then you're not going to achieve any success in that remembrance. So therefore, following the instructions and the remembering are one and the same. And by following the instructions and of the guru and being determined, one will achieve the goal of which remembrance gives us, and that is love for Krishna.
Sorry, I'm just wondering on of those nine protests of devotional service. He said that Hanuman representing serving the Lord, and then Lakshmi Devi represents serving of the lotus feet of the Lord. It's kind of what's the difference there? Like,
it's just a devotee service. That's all. Yeah. One devotee has one service, another devotee has another service. It's, you know. For Lakshmi, the Lord serving the lotus feet is her service, and for Hanuman, it's different.
You mean like massaging?
So, service is service.
Service
if you're distributing books or you're on the altar, it's service. But the highest service, the highest mood is what we get in Vrindavan with the Brajavasis, because that's spontaneous. So yeah, our service is absolute. There's no difference, really. Jai. Gyantarajima Bhagavatam ki. Jai.